17 degrees on this Tuesday morning. We're calling it a thankful Tuesday, and I've posted a question on the Wib Wake Up Show Facebook page. What are you thankful for, and what song would you like to hear this morning? Tell us here or at 715-396-1670 in your own voice. So that just posted. Jason Kantz, as we start the best 5 minutes of the day. What are you thankful for this year?
I am thankful for the opportunity to sit down with friends, drinking coffee, talking about life and, you know, fun things and challenging things. And I just had coffee with a new friend yesterday, and it was just wonderful.
Nice.
To be able to sit down and just chat through things. So,
yeah.
Yep.
And for your granddaughter, Rosie.
Of course. I mean, that's a given. Yeah.
And for photography and for bees.
Both of those as well. And books.
But not for raisins.
Not for raisins. And pineapple, as long as it's not on pizza, is okay.
Okay, very good. Yeah. But you are thankful for coconut.
I'm very thankful for coconut.
I am thankful for you as a friend and these five-minute conversations weekday mornings here on WWIB, as well as our consistent Saturday morning breakfasts, which
absolutely,
I think qualify in that initial category you mentioned.
Yep.
So.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah, very good. So I was thinking some about Christianity has had a good stretch here since, just has had an ongoing journey post-Jesus, the cross, the resurrection. The book of Acts kind of lays out the early days. But it seems to me there is that kind of pre- and post-Constantinian Christianity, correct?
For sure. And, you know, for those who don't understand what you're mentioning there, so the Emperor Constantine had this massive swath of Europe and Western Asia, if I recall, and became a Christian and made it the official religion of the empire. And things changed drastically from, you know, table fellowship, small community, kind of living as those who were not the primary people in society to, hey, guess what? We are now we're mandating that this is the primary people in society. We're led by power rather than by life under. And things changed drastically then.
And so I guess, you know, on the surface, it might have appeared to Christians even at the time in the fourth century that, wow, I mean, if the leader is a Christian, and then, I mean, it's just going to be great for us and for Christianity. Not necessarily the case.
For sure, you know, and I think that's the case, is that seeking after power is seems to me to be the opposite way of what we see in the life of Jesus. You know, I think if we think of the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness, you know, he was offered power, and he said, no, this isn't what I'm about. And yet, after Constantine, that seemed to become more and more of an issue.
So, anyhow, just something to keep in mind as we think about Jesus. One of the sayings I think we both agree on is what Jesus shows us, and I would point to Philippians 2:5-8, among other things, but Jesus lives a life of power under, not power over.
Yeah,
it's a humility and service. It's, I think this past Sunday was Christ the King Sunday, and so there are some wonderful memes out there about what a real king, you know, our King of Kings is about, right? A servant leader of the ultimate degree.
Yeah, absolutely. The upside down kingdom, as Donald Crabill would call it.
There we go. All right. Yep. With that said, we just have one verse today. It's Matthew 26:30.
And that says, then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives.
And you write in Letters to the Beloved, at the end of dinner, they sang a hymn together and went out to the Mount of Olives. My people are singers, whether in celebration or lament, worship or weariness, songs are found on their lips. Music helps you access deeper parts within you to bring more of yourself to me. Final thought.
It's good to have that on a radio station, right? Often we're touched by music, by songs. You know, I think sometimes when I can't express what I'm thinking or feeling, songs will often bring me to that place.
My friend Matt Peters gave the message in church on Sunday, our youth pastor and pastor of discipleship at Valley Brook. And And he was in a band for like 15 years, and he talked about something I think I've heard you say about wanting life to just break out into a musical.
Yes, absolutely true.
There we go. Yep. Have a great day, friend.
Talk to you later. Yep.
There we go. Hey, that's our question of the morning. Love to hear you weigh in at 715-396-1670. What are you thankful for this year, and what song would you like to hear in that regard? Let us know on the listener line. 715-396-1670. I'd love to hear it in your own voice. Carl checking in today. He says, good morning, Mark. Thanks for the Whitney version of the Star Spangled Banner. Greatest of all time. He says, I haven't heard it for quite a while. Radio cranked on my commute in La Crosse. Blessings on your day. CCC. Thank you, Carl. Appreciate it.
I am thankful for God, for he is always with me and will never leave me, for his promises are true and forever. Would you play Mighty God by Phillips Craig and Dean?
Good morning, Mark. I am very grateful for both of my sons, but I'm especially grateful that God healed my younger son from his affliction when he was a baby and let him grow up and is now married, giving me a daughter that I always wanted. And now, actually, I'm going to be a grandma in the spring, so I'm very, very grateful.
Good morning, Mark and WWIB and family out there. This is Linda from Chippewa, and there is just so much to be thankful for every day. There's good things that happen, and there are struggles that happen. I just thank God for every day that he wakes me up. Now that I'm much older, have turned 74, and I'm thankful for all my family and my children and just things that have happened, good and bad, because all through that, I'm thankful that the Lord has been there. He is my friend. He's my Savior, and he is such a help in everyday things. And so God bless you, and I hope you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And if you could play the song by Carrie Job, The Blessing, that would be awesome. Thank you so much, Mark. Have a great day.
Well, what is the perfect work and rest ratio? It's important to not just work end to end, wire to wire, right? You got to take some brain breaks from time to time. But what is the proper ratio to be able to be productive, but also get what your body needs and what your brain needs?
Yeah, that's right. Your body and mind benefit from these breaks, which keep you energized so that you can tackle the rest of your day.
So what is the perfect work to rest ratio? A time tracking app called Desk Time played Big Brother monitoring employees' computer use.
And they found that the most productive 10% worked hard for 52 minutes, then took a break for 17.
So 52-17 is the ratio. It's backed by scientists pointing to the natural rhythms of our attention spans.
Our brain can focus for up to 90 minutes and then needs roughly 20 minutes of rest. But, you know, it's interesting because I think I've heard in terms of, like, when you think about TED Talks, they're 18 minutes. There's kind of a reason. Like, our attention span, so 90 seems like a lot to me.
It really is. So, again, what they're saying is the perfect ratio, work hard, all right? Work hard, work straight through 52 minutes, then take a 17-minute break, then get back to it. They say that's what will make you the most productive.
Hey, it is a thankful Tuesday here on the WIB Wake Up Show. We're asking you, what are you or who are you thankful for this year? Tell us why in your own voice. What it is, 715-396-1670, 396-1670. And maybe mention a song that fits in with that along the way that you'd like to hear this morning on the WIB Wake Up Show, just like this.
Hi, this is Mike from La Crosse, and I'm thankful just not for every breath I take every morning when I get up, but family and friends. The Lord is so great. I'm thankful for him being in my life, and I was wondering if you could play Great is the Lord by Michael W. Smith. I would appreciate it. Thanks, and God bless everyone. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Well, 60 Ways is the topic as we have a special guest in studio here, Carly Rubenzer from the Chippewa Falls Middle School. Welcome, Carly.
Thanks so much.
Now, when you look at your email signature, there's a lot of different titles on there. Social Emotional Interventionist, Cardinal Market Coordinator, Homeless Support Lead. If you kind of drill down on that, what is it that you do?
I hook families up with resources in the community, and I make sure that no kid is hungry and goes home hungry from our school.
And that's something that what we've been trying to do for years, really, with this 60 Ways in 60 Days campaign for Feed My People is to make our listening family aware of maybe how significant the need is, because food insecurity, where you don't always know where your next meal is coming from, that can often be hidden. And maybe sometimes we're willfully hiding ourselves from that and looking the other way. But other times we just don't see it. And we want people to realize how significant this need really is.
And I would say it is very significant. Just at my school alone, the middle school in Chippewa Falls, I have between 70 and 90 shoppers every week.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a significant number. I've set our pantry up like a grocery store to hopefully diminish the stigma of needing food, so the kids come in and feel empowered to shop. It's a positive environment, but we have a lot of shoppers, and we've had the same repeating kids 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. So the need is there, and our market wouldn't be possible without Feed My People Food Bank. They're so wonderful with the donations that they give us. So, and our own student body, they bring in food too with food drives. They just did a huge food drive at our school for cereal, ramen, and Easy Mac. So easy meals for kids that they can make without a parent or for a meal.
So as you would talk to our listeners kind of directly through the radio today, Carly, I mean, how would you encourage them to take part? They've been hearing us, Caleb and I, for years. We have a lot of ads running. December 15th, the deadline. But you're a fresh voice. You're out there working in the field. What would you say to them?
I would say when you see ads, when you see drives, donate. It's the simplest way that you can help people and children in our community is to donate to all of the wonderful things that are happening during the holiday season and beyond. It's so easy to give during the holiday season, but it's incredible to continue to give when the holidays are over, because we don't want people to be forgotten.
And the need doesn't stop.
Right.
Even when we're not feeling the Christmas spirit anymore, the need doesn't stop. Hunger doesn't stop. And again, you're representing Chippewa Falls Middle School, talking about the significance of the need there. It's a 14-county area that Feed My People serves thousands and thousands of people. I think they're expecting to serve 80,000 people in their service area, which is very similar to the WWIB listening area. Again, Carly Rubenzer from the Chippewa Falls Middle School joining us for 60 Ways in 60 Days. Can you give briefly insight into what is it like for a child, a middle school child, since that's where you're at, when they are struggling with food insecurity? Because I would think the level of anxiety, the level of stress, struggles in school, struggles interpersonally, I mean, all those things seem to be the natural outgrowth of not having that basic need met.
Well, learning definitely comes second. So yeah. If their basic needs are not met, they're not at school in a good place to learn. So we make sure that kids get breakfast and lunch, and then they can take food home from our pantry once a week. If the need is more, they can shop more than once a week. We also meet basic needs at our school. So if kids need hygiene items, if they need their hair brushed in the morning, if they need a toothbrush and toothpaste, we have all of those items available. We have school supplies, clothes, backpacks. We just try to level the playing field for all children so that they all can be ready to learn at our school. That's our number one goal.
Caleb, it makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, we're so spoiled that, you know, anytime, you know, your stomach growls, you're just like, just go eat. But for everybody doesn't have that capacity, especially kids. And so that's where we're having this campaign and having you, Carly, in to try to call people's attention. We want to do all we can to match what our generous sponsors have done.
Yeah, again, we have this $5,000 matching challenge. That's 10,000 meals. If we double that, that's 20,000 meals. But I've been saying, again, my prayer is that we wouldn't just double it, that we would triple it, that we would send at least 30,000 meals out before Christmas. Again, WWIB.com/60ways. A single dollar provides two meals. Carly, you mentioned how much Feed My People comes alongside your alongside hundreds of other local hunger relief agencies. This is just one, a tip of the iceberg for the need, but they are doing all they can to combat hunger on the front lines, and we want to stand with them.
Yes, Feed My People is incredible. They are boots on the ground organization. I'm so, so thankful for what they do for our community, not just for the Chippewa Falls Middle School.
Suzanne Becker, the executive director of Feed My People, it was announced last week, will be stepping down from that post at the beginning of next year. She tells WWIB what she thinks about it. She reflects on her tenure at Feed My People, where she's worked since 2011.
There are just a lot of amazing people who all play a role with this, including you folks at WWIB helping us to get the message out. You know, it takes all of us doing our slice, and then together we can make an impact.
You can hear more of what Becker had to say in the podcast of our Chippewa Valley This Week from this past Sunday at WWIB.com. Well, Margaret Rather is on the line with us this morning in Thorpe. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for talking to us.
Margaret, great to have you with us again as we look towards Small Business Saturday, Small Business Weekend this week, and you're one of our featured small businesses in Thorpe on 103 West Main Street. So prior to your business, Main Street Hair Solutions, women actually had to go all the way to the cities to find a salon like what you offer. So again, we're very fortunate to have one here in Thorpe. What led you to open your salon to do something different than anybody else?
Well, you know, I was a frustrated woman with her own hair, and I was trying to find my own solutions by myself, and I was failing miserably. And I did actually make the trip to a couple different shops over the years, and it didn't go the way that I needed it to go. And so I literally just took matters into my own hands and opened up my own shop so I could help other women like me.
Huh. Margaret, we know that beauty comes from within, but sometimes hair struggles can affect a woman's confidence. What is it like when someone that's struggled with their hair their whole life gets a new wig?
Well, I've had the pleasure of witnessing that transformation hundreds of times. It's an amazing part of my business. Some women, it takes a little longer to get used to having some hair on their head that they never had. Other women are just so excited right off the bat, so it's really fun to watch. But once they get used to having the hair that they've always wanted, it becomes such a wonderful thing for them, and how it affects them in so many ways in their life. It's hard to even explain. It's wonderful.
Here on the WIB Wake Up Show on WWIB, Caleb and Havel, in advance of Small Business Saturday and Small Business Weekend, we're chatting with Margaret Rather from Main Street Hair Solutions, again, 103 West Main Street in Thorpe. Margaret, how do you minister to those that are going through hair loss specifically because of cancer and due to cancer?
Well, you know, the way that I treat them when they're in my salon is no differently than anyone else who comes in for help. I personally feel like a lot of my ladies are just tired of feeling, sick and feeling sorry for. And so I just kind of treat them normal, and I love on them and help them professionally and help them find the wig that they have been looking for, and try to make the experience enjoyable for them as opposed to a sad, you know, moment. I try to almost ignore that in a way and just offer my emotional, you know, support to them. But we try to have a little bit of fun if they're up for that anyway.
From what I hear, Margaret, you do a great job doing just that. Margaret Rather from Main Street Hair Solutions in Thorpe with us on the WIB Wake Up Show. Margaret, do you have a lot of wigs in stock, or are most of them made to special order?
I have a lot in stock, and we do special orders. So I easily have over 200 wigs in the store at all times. Yeah, that's the way that I wanted it to be. I wanted there to be a good chance of clients being able to walk out with something on their head the same day that they're visiting. So that does happen quite a bit, but those times that it doesn't, we do a special order.
And finally, Margaret, before we let you go here, how do clients start that process of meeting with you? If they hear your ads and say, hey, I want to support a local business, and maybe they're thinking of someone else. Maybe it's not for them, but they're thinking of someone else. And the question then being, so how do they start this process of meeting with you in Main Street Hair Solutions?
Sure. Most of the time, the best two ways to do it would be either to call the shop directly, the number 715-669-6500, and they can talk to me directly or Sarah, who also works for me, and we can answer any and all questions they have before setting up the appointment if they're not ready. We also have a website where there's a lot of great information on there, and then a contact form where they could communicate with us via email too.
Margaret, thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Margaret Rather, Main Street Hair Solutions, 103 West Main Street in Thorpe. Again, online at mainstreethairsolutions.com, or give her a call at 715-669-6500.
Well, we have a birthday to get to here on the WIB Wake Up Show. Just heard about this.
Yeah.
From Brooklyn today, and she says Brett Becker is turning 39 today. Happy birthday, Brett, from Brooklyn and all of us here at WWIB.
Happy birthday, Brett.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Happy birthday from all of us to you. We wish it was our birthday so we could party too. Happy birthday and all your dreams come true. We wish it was our birthday so we could
It's your birthday.
Also, you're on WWIB. We've got the latest in AI, I guess, Caleb.
Yeah, and this is causing a bit of a firestorm, as AI often can. Again, there's some interesting uses for it, but then there's times where it seems to be perhaps taking some jobs away from humans. And in this case, it seems like some content was pilfered from human beings to help AI get better.
Remember in the early days of this, you know, in the last year or so, where people were just like, well, there's so many jobs they're going to be taken. And I think we're really just at the beginning of this, because last week the TV and film industry rocked by a startling revelation as more than 139,000 scripts were discovered in a data set used to train artificial intelligence.
So they took, again, scripts from real people and used it in the training process for AI. Show creators, including well-known names like Shonda Rhimes, Ryan Murphy, and Matt Groening, were stunned to find their work included in this massive AI training data set. And they're like, hey, I don't think we really agreed to this.
Exactly. And so the data sourced from subtitles of TV episodes and movies raised serious concerns among writers who fear that their creative content has been exploited without consent.
Or compensation, it would seem. With AI systems being trained on dialogue from popular shows and films, writers are left outraged and questioning what actions can be taken to address this infringement on their material.
As writers fume, they're wondering what can be done and will they be compensated? So there you go.
We're still real, just in case anyone wondered. Sometimes you might be like, I think AI would be better than what they just did for a segment. But you know what?
Yeah.
We're live and local. We're right here. And we love you.
Cut us and we bleed.